All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. John, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Before we even talk about breakfast, there's something I want to do. As you boys can see, I'm burning sage. Yes. I am smudging the room. I am freeing this room of any and all Little B base god references. He shall not contaminate this podcast. His name shall not be uttered.
I'm fine with that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm a little...
Now, I did not have breakfast. I had an early morning meeting. I'm starving, so go ahead and talk about whatever you ate, and I'll be incredibly jealous of it.
I had a Clif bar. Don't worry.
Okay, not so jealous.
Don't worry, sugar fans. It was a chocolate chip Clif bar.
Is it gluten-free?
I think it's all gluten.
It's gluten?
I'm not really sure, because I've never... Yeah, it's just, you know, grains and things. I have to have a little... I had a leftover from playing some sports, playing some of the Ultimate Frisbee, which I am incredibly mediocre at my advanced age.
Thank you for not calling it Ultimate.
Yeah, well...
If you leave out that word, it's just sad.
Yeah, yeah.
To let people know
it's a Frisbee.
It's a Frisbee.
I played some Ultimate Disc, let's be real.
Disc.
But, so I have to eat something. Something is about my skinniness. If I don't eat something before I do an activity, I get very ill. So I bought some, and it was left over.
I am not thin, and if I don't eat something before an activity, I also get very ill.
There was a time in college, and this might be unfamiliar to both of you. There was a time in college I thought I'm gonna get really fit, like I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna get fit. And a lot of it was like I would get up one time, so I got up one time, like real early on a Saturday morning to go to these track workouts with like just some, you know, random fit people, and I threw up. Just because I didn't eat. Like, I just got up, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to work out. I'm young. I'm 18. I have energy.
Yeah.
And then I'm just vomiting. Like, oh, I got to have food or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, college is where you go to learn how not to work out, in my experience. I went to college a very fit young man and emerged 80 pounds later.
I think I've heard it had something to do with the Miller Lite and the Little Debbies.
And the Florida State food court.
Oh,
that food court was
Sodexo.
Pretty much,
they will give you a breakfast.
That was pretty much just like I believe there was pizza. There were actual fast food restaurants in the food court that
so,
you could use your meal plan.
So, dear listener, randomly, John and I both attended Florida State for some amounts, and the food court for me. So, like my parents, we paid for it. I think my first semester.
Yes,
and. I guess we were always very frugal as a family. We didn't have a lot of money.
Not us.
And so what I told my parents was, you don't need to pay for the food plan. It's a ripoff.
Yeah.
It's like $8 a meal.
Right.
And to me, that blew my mind how expensive that was.
Right.
So then I'm like, just save your money. Like, don't buy the meal plan. So that means skinny, you know, I'm skinny now at 36. That means I lost like 10 pounds in college because I was just eating, you know, animal crackers and Gatorade powder.
I was the portrait growing fatter and fatter in your attic.
Chuck, what'd you have for breakfast?
I can't eat.
Oh no.
Just can't. It's been a hard few days, guys.
Yeah, LeBron is awesome for someone not to eat.
I know. Why couldn't he do it for us? But he wasn't that dominant.
Chuck, I hate to pile on, but this game three performance kind of erased Dwayne Wade's game three performance against the Mavericks as the greatest game three performance I've seen.
Well, look, here's how it goes. LeBron's great and terrible and the best and the worst all at the same time. And he makes me physically ill to think about. It's kind of like when I think about him, it's like Keith working out on an empty stomach. I just throw up.
This is... You've mentioned this analogy before. This is the ex-lover.
It is.
This is the high school girlfriend who you were just insane over. Mm-hmm. And this is you seeing her at that Christmas party after your first semester away.
Kick Keith's cat.
No, he gently nudged it with his foot. He did not kick the cat.
The cat was attacking the table upon which we were recording.
The cat hates LeBron, too.
Yeah, he brought out the worst in everyone.
Don't know.
I like how when Chuck talks about LeBron, it sounds like Chris Christopherson writing about an old lover, like partly truth and partly fiction.
Right. I mean, this is going to be a week.
I'm watching my ex-girlfriend on Pornhub.
Get pounded.
When Chuck passes away, we can do like the "He Stopped Loving Her Today." Like we'll be the.
He's.
It just hurts.
He means so much to me. Give me the best and worst 4 years of basketball. ever. And now he's giving me the worst, and there's no pleasure except watching the greatest player of the past 20 years.
It's almost like he heard you decrying all that ISO, and he's like, oh no, we're going to ISO even more.
That's all I said, and that, you know, my analytical mind tells me that ISO basketball doesn't work, but...
Works against the Warriors.
Apparently, that's... Well, I mean, it does, because that team is built to beat the Spurs, which... Heavy ball movement, no relying on one person, no ISO. Were we scattered and smothered yet?
No,
but
no,
they
no.
Basically can't, they don't switch. There's no switching involved, so you remove their, you know, hyper flexibility in their scheme and kind of takes the teeth out of what they do best, which is close out off of rotations.
So this is just saying you're too distraught to have breakfast.
I cannot eat.
You've lost.
I've just no will to eat. Or
as an intense
sleep.
LeBron hater,
don't have sex anymore.
You're
whoa.
Well, is that related?
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you missed breakfast because of your lack of appetite. As yeah. LeBron has taken your joy of life.
I just ate tears.
All right. Let's let's move on. After our breakfast talk, we do our breakfast in bed apologies. Mm-hmm. This is our opportunity to make amends for anything we might have gotten incorrect in any previous episode. Does anyone want to start?
I'm just wrong about it all. I know nothing about basketball. I have no understanding of the game in general, and specifically the series. I'm terrible at analysis, and if you think anything of me as a basketball mind, you are wrong.
Well, but don't, so I'll go next. I don't have anything to apologize for, but I have an apology to demand from the Cleveland Cavaliers. You may not call yourselves grit and grind.
Oh, forget
you
it.
May not.
Unbelievable.
We've that seen is a... copyright part and parcel one Tony Murder Van Allen.
We have seen a lot of this. Actually, throughout the season, I believe the Bucks referred to their arena as the Grindhouse
at
some point.
Get your own shiz.
People are, you know, it's a copycat league.
IP, man, intellectual property of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Well, we all know intellectual property means very little nowadays.
Sadly true.
Yes. Artist John, sadly true. My apology, I think, is to the Eastern Conference.
You had poo-pooed them. You poo-pooed
their
platter.
Well, I mean, first of all, we're recording this, you know, the day after Game 3. The Cavs are taking a 2-1 lead, much like my beloved Memphis Grizzlies also took a 2-1 lead. I still think the Cavs are they're a favorite to win the series still. Like,
I know,
it's
the Warriors are.
The Warriors
minus 125.
That's what I meant to say. The Warriors are still the favorite to win the series. I still think they're going to win the series, despite everything I've seen. But my apology is, yes, I thought, were the Chicago Bulls pretty good?
I reckon
Were the Atlanta Hawks not the most embarrassing team we've ever seen?
Well, they did get swept by juggernaut.
Yeah.
But everything I saw, especially in the Eastern Conference playoffs, not to mention the regular season, was an inferior product. And I assumed the Cavs' defense would not travel or would not relate. You know, I thought the Warriors would kind of have their way with it. And on that, I was totally wrong. The Warriors are being suffocated by this defense. We'll get into exactly why we think that is, I guess, in our scattered and covered, but that's my apology. I guess Eastern Conference, Cavs, they look, their defense is dominant, and perhaps, yeah.
But you did allude to a series in which we've already seen the Warriors battle back.
It's true.
They pretty much swept them from there on.
They won three straight rather comfortably.
Yes.
Okay, so those were our apologies. Now, steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw this week? I'll do mine. My favorite was Mike Miller.
Oh, the dive?
In game three. Not only the dive, it was the steal.
Mm-hmm.
The anticipate, the pass. Exactly those 15 years of veteran savvy, or however many it is, I don't know.
For one fleeting moment, it was Miller time.
Well, also, let it fly. I mean, also, I get very... warm all over whenever he checks in. Anyway, I just adore that man. And I
miss him so much.
And him amnestied a Miami Heat amnesty.
Probably the reason why LeBron left.
It is it's a huge reason.
The straw that broke the camel.
Mickey Arison was not moving enough cruise ships to pay the extra luxury tax to keep Mike Miller.
Well, it was all a plan to get Zoran Dragic and his, his drug mule body.
His cocaine condoms.
Yeah, Mike Miller. What a great... If we want to do my best now, since my best is also Mike Miller, is Mike Miller wearing LeBron's warm-up jersey before the game. He had LeBron's warm-up tee.
That was when he checked into the game. Yeah. It almost gave you the feeling he wasn't sure he was going to play.
Yeah.
He goes up to the scores table with the LeBron James shooting shirt.
Takes off the shooting shirt. There's nothing underneath.
It's just a tattoo of a monkey on a Great Dane. Yeah. That's all there is.
I can't go in.
No. Yeah, Mike Miller played fantastic basketball. It kind of talks about, I mean, it really highlights, I think, where the difference between these two teams now, because on paper, you don't have a team like the Cavs beat a team like the Warriors from a statistical standpoint, you know, defensive and offensive efficiency, things like that. But the moment's big, huge series, and it seems as if the Cavs are just well prepared with those veterans who may not get a lot of tick, but definitely have a presence in the locker room and on the bench. Sean Marion, James Jones, Mike Miller. Yeah.
Mike seemed very under control in his 5 minutes.
I mean, and that's what you want. That's why they signed him. It was for those heady plays, was for inbounds passes. Very smart inbounds passing.
He was very Pablo Prigioni.
It is. And, you know, he's one of those guys where you're just glad to have him because he makes smart basketball plays. And in comparison, a guy like Harrison Barnes, who any human being on the planet would take over Mike Miller in a draft.
Right.
He's hitting the bed. Yeah. So, you know, and that's where the moment comes.
And not only, I mean, would you take him, he'd also had established himself as playoff Harrison.
Right.
He'd also been great.
Yeah, but finals Harrison is
something
fatal.
Something not as great. John, you have a steak and eggs, best thing?
For reasons unrelated to the podcast, my Twitter account, I cannot use it right now, or like use it effectively. So I've been watching these finals without Twitter, and it's been wonderful. It has been wonderful. I do not have to read the same six jokes that everyone thinks of, including myself, during the game.
Sure.
I'm fully engaged. I'm not constantly checking my phone, and I'm developing my own opinions on the game, whether they're right or wrong.
Yeah. That's overrated, though.
I'm also not. I understand. I enjoy the in-game Twitter when there's a big communal moment.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm also not a big in-game Twitterer because even when I'm watching a game live, I'm not.
Right.
I'm pausing it because I get so bored watching the commercials.
Yes.
And I was watching live last night at the end. I was all caught up and, you know, during commercial breaks, trying to find things to keep myself busy, like, you know, iPhone games. But that last 2 minutes last night was 21 minutes long.
Yeah, hey, that was hard to do.
21 minutes. And they'd even run out of timeouts. And the NBA came up with new ways. Like, the teams were out of timeouts with 20 seconds left. And I was like, what is this going to be, just basketball?
We must debut a new commercial.
They laughed. Like, why don't we review some things that are...
Obviously unnecessary to review.
Or actually, in last night's was a pretty funny... Danny Crawford just made up something, and no one knows what the call on the court is. No one knows what happened.
He blew a whistle and then just walked to the scorer's table. And then,
excellent segue. My worst of the week, Danny Crawford.
He's so bad.
What? I mean, just Danny Crawford?
No, period.
No Tony Brothers?
The brothers, man, Crawford combo.
It's killing me. That move you talked about where he walks away to try to decide what nonsense he's going to call. Mm-hmm. That's like when you are stalling, like just stalling, period.
Okay, yeah. There were a couple very interesting moments in game three. The one you're referring to right now is the one where at the end of the game, the Cavs are inbounding. Dellavedova is being, you know, harangued by Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson... there's no call made.
Yes.
Until like Dellavedova is forced into a turnover, throws it in bounds, and the Warriors get it. But then on the replay, it's obvious Klay Thompson is standing out of bounds when he hits the ball. But yes, Danny Crawford blows his whistle, to which everyone says, "What?"
Yes.
And then Danny Crawford immediately makes no signal.
No.
When they taught me to ref high school basketball, you're communicating to the teams, mm-hmm. to your partners, and to the spectators.
Right.
So you make signals mm-hmm. so we know what in the world's happening.
Yeah.
Nothing was made. Then, yeah, he like covers his, puts his hand over his mouth, and he's like, come here, boys. And they walk, and we're just like, what is happening?
He had no clue why he blew that whistle.
And then, it looks like they're going to – he calls inadvertent whistle. An inadvertent whistle is not reviewable. However – because, and I'm fine with this, because we have the ability for everyone at home to see that this is just screwed up, I'm very happy that they're like, oh, inadvertent whistle, and they're putting the ball in bounds, and then someone else is like, hey, let's just look at the video for fun, even though we're not supposed to, and just get it right, which is what they did,
right.
But it was still, it was a bad look.
Yeah, and then Steve Javy, they bring him on. He's like, it's just, you know, the players are having cramps, and it seems like there's a brain cramp there. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not the way this works.
He needs a new writer.
Yeah. Yeah. Sign me up. I can fart at least.
Nate Bargatze or something.
Earlier in the game, there was also a goaltending call on a David Lee shot where he was fouled. It was clearly goaltended. Mm-hmm. No one calls goaltending. They're lining up to shoot two, and it's one of those things where the refs now understand, like, they can sense the truthiness in what Steve Kerr is saying.
Shout
and
out
the
Colbert.
Way, and I think the way the crowd reacts, the scores table is kind of like, yeah, that was goaltending. And so then they just decide, like, a minute later. And again, I don't want to keep citing my very small amount, my minuscule amount of experience refereeing.
It's awfully cute, though.
Your brain does not... Your memory does not improve. What happens is when you're talking over a thing is you became more confused of anything you ever saw. You're like, right. I have no idea actually who was shooting. I have no, yeah. So the fact that they just were like, yeah, it counts.
I think Danny Crawford was also behind the jump ball that wasn't in game two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was another baffling play.
Yeah.
Where Draymond Green just grabs LeBron and refuses to let either of them jump. Mm-hmm. The ball falls to LeBron's hands.
Who was reffing? It wasn't.
Was it not?
Maybe Tony Bradley, because he didn't do both games.
We'll just give my Kareem of Wheat worst of the week will be the officiating.
Well, then you have the big play that didn't matter. The
travel,
the travel, LeBron getting fouled. That was Tony Brothers not seeing Iguodala fouling.
And, oh, well, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. Andre Iguodala did the same foul every single play, and they never called it.
Yeah.
He would subtly grab him with his left arm, and then reach across and karate chop him with his right.
Right.
And they never called it.
That play I kind of liked because it's one of those, like, the shot clock was running down. It was either going to be a shooting foul with, like, 1/10 of a second left. LeBron had traveled, mm-hmm. to which I thought, well, that was really plain as it was happening.
Right.
Yeah. So play on. Play on, everybody.
It got a little tiresome watching it happen over and over and over again. And I'm sitting here rooting for the Warriors. I'm still like, God, they're fouling him every play.
Although LeBron catching a jump ball was possibly going to be one of the funnier ways to choke I've ever seen.
Yeah. It looked like
everyone,
that was going to be
everyone
it.
Knows you can't catch a
yeah,
jump
that's
ball.
A
and,
rule.
And he just really, that was that was a Steve Javy brain cramp if I ever saw one.
Fellas, that was my heaping spoonful of cream of wheat.
That
was yours?
A cream of wheat. Mine is, I don't want to sound like Jeff Van Gundy here. Mine is the Warriors shooting three-pointers wildly in transition. So I know that's their MO.
I
know that's what they've been doing all year. Yeah. I know they won, like, what was it?
67.
99 games. I know that's like their go-to thing, but it's the playoffs now. It's the finals now. And yes, I've only been on the Warriors bandwagon for 2 weeks. But I am on the Warriors bandwagon. I find myself pulling for them. And then, like, they're struggling to score. The Cavs are shutting them down. They'll hit a shot. They'll get a turnover. It'll be a 4-on-1, a 3-on-1. And they are not looking to get a bucket. They're not looking to get an easy bucket. They are looking to get a home run.
Yeah, people are running.
Klay Thompson,
people are running to the
Steph Curry. They're just all running for these pull-up. And a lot of them are even unassisted.
Right.
It's like Steph Curry gets it, and he's like, I'm doing this. Klay Thompson is doing this a lot. It's just, and, you know, get the 2 points. Those home runs are going to come. Like, when I watch NBA basketball, these home runs come when you get a run going, any kind of run going. If they, like, say Steph finally hits a three, and then you have a fast break, if you just get a bucket, if you get any transition layup, you now have 5-0, like, it starts to swell, it starts to build. Then you'll get those three-pointers. Get the points. They haven't hit 100 points. Get the points.
When we talk about the game some more in depth later in the show, that's an option they have. They if they're going to adjust their offense, that's one of the adjustments they could make, because that's there pretty much all game. That taking the extra pass out to the 3-point line instead of the layup that they're being presented with, that's something they could choose to do.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Thus. But I hate for Van Gundy's harping to be correct.
That is also painful.
So that could be my cream of the wheat.
My cream of wheat, obviously, not obviously, but I have to agree with Charles Barkley for once, which is the worst thing ever. We are all minions to Outback Jesus, Matthew Dellavedova. He is.
Or as Isaiah Thomas routinely mispronounces, Matthew Dellavedova.
Dellavedova. I don't think you're ready for this. Deli is my favorite internet meme regarding him. But could we stop with him? If he does that again.
I want to stop with him, but...
He just keeps doing it.
Well, you know, game three was supposed to be Steph Curry makes him pay.
Well, game two...
Well, he did in the second half.
Game two, he technically sort of. Was... I mean, game two, he the storyline is he caused Curry, and sure, I don't disagree. He caused Curry to have a terrible game. But game two, Dellavedova, I think, was like 3 for 10 and had 6 turnovers.
Yeah.
Like it was rough.
Yeah. Yep.
So then game three, he was kind of incredible.
He played Kyrie Irving.
And he hit the game winning shot or
20 points.
The back breaking, amazing.
He dove at six guys' knees.
He's definitely shoulder to the knee guy.
I mean, and if Steph Curry doesn't turn into Ray Allen, sorry, Chuck, for one quarter. Then we're talking again about Steph Curry having a nightmare game.
Yeah, it was a lot of those desperation last second in the shot clock.
So, and all, Steph Curry went off. Steph Curry literally had one of his go-off fourth quarters,
and they
still didn't hit 100
points. But his go-off was on 28-foot pull-ups and really no rhythm.
I'm just saying, he hit an incredible number of threes
tied a record.
At an amazing percentage, and still... It wasn't enough.
If he doesn't do that, game three is kind of a blowout.
No.
It's absolutely a blowout.
He personally brought him back into it, and even in the closing minutes, gave him hope. And I thought that there was a chance with, you know, I think it was 24 to play or something, and there was down three, the Warriors were. What has to happen, and this is where nobody can really think straight, you have to have... Everything worked perfectly for the Warriors to win, which I didn't think was the case. You know, you have to have the bench playing well, which they played decent, but you have to have Curry and Klay go off.
Festus was solid.
he played good minutes.
He was strong.
Played good minutes. Bogut was...
Festus, for the rest of us, is out playing Andrew Bogut right now.
Yeah.
Bogut, 17 minutes last night.
Two points.
And just, ugh.
Yeah.
They're going to leave him behind.
I think they...
They're going to send him back to the Outback.
It's the...
Oh, I thought I was seeing a Nick Cage evangelical reference. I didn't... Okay, yeah.
No, yeah, it's the end of the world.
So, I mean, I think even if Bogut struggles, I don't know. My opinion is we still need a little more of him. Let's move on. What's your cream of wheat is just...
It's just having to agree with Charles Barkley. Dellavedova, if... I don't... Absolutely. This is why I still feel... now, my Warriors in five are gone. But my
as is mine and everyone else's,
right? And
Warriors in seven,
this,
baby.
John's looking
good,
prescient.
John.
But I think over the next, four games, my money is on the Warriors picking up their shooting.
Hey, and you can get them as 2.5 point favorites right now.
You can.
I know a guy.
You know a guy. I don't have money,
man.
they were 2-point favorites last night, and that seemed amazing to me. I gambled, I was like, oh yeah, I'd hit that.
So if I had to bet on Dellavedova playing like that for the rest of the series, and because he has to in order for them to be competitive, I don't think they have scoring outside. I mean, you can have a J.R. Smith game.
Can I tell you why he doesn't have to?
Why? Because LeBron f***ing James. Sorry.
Keith, well,
he's going to be bleeping a lot today.
I don't think Chuck has a turkey bacon conspiracy this week, but I have a gluten-free waffle conspiracy. Each game... Have you guys ever heard of... You guys know what a vampire is.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen the movie Life Force?
No.
Yes, I have.
It is a Toby Hooper classic from the 80s featuring...
I always thought that was Tobe.
Energy vampire.
Not blood.
LeBron James is an energy vampire. Each game, he is taking one of his teammates. We've gone through Kevin Love. We've gone through Kyrie. Iman Shumpert got hurt last night.
Yeah.
I think Deli D might be next. He takes them, sucks the energy from their body.
Dilly D was hospitalized for overnight.
Wow.
If you don't know. Cramps.
I see this happening.
Sucks the energy from their body and adds another 20% to his already magnificent game.
Is this like the Freddy Krueger where, which one is it?
Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors, where he kills all these friends and then learns all their maniacal, one's a kung fu artist.
He's stealing their traits, energy. He is Wendigo.
That's a great conspiracy, John.
I think that's absolutely dead on.
What was that? Your gluten-free waffle?
Gluten-free waffle conspiracy.
John's gluten-free waffle conspiracy theory of the week.
I'm just telling you, this could be happening. We might see more calves go down.
I have a conspiracy, actually.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
My conspiracy.
Oh, wait. This is Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week.
My conspiracy is that the universe is conspiring against me.
Yes.
Once again, an Australian player from St. Mary's is ruining my life in June. Yeah. It's making me sad. And
who is the other one?
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills.
Come on, John.
Are these all St. Mary's players? These are all St. Mary's players?
Yeah. Which I'm not even sure is a real college. I can't be certain.
I saw Dilly D play against Vandy in Memorial Gym.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
St. Mary's is
an irritating team.
Just doesn't make sense how that player is playing like that, and will he ever play like that again? I'm not certain. I'm betting that he won't in picking the Warriors in seven.
I think the Heat will probably sign Dilly D.
So your theory is
the universe hates me.
And
Chuck and I are both going to Bonnaroo, and I'm saying this now. Not hanging out with you.
Is it karma?
I've seen people die there, and I don't want to be that person.
I'm going to be sad. Be so sad.
Are you ready to watch one of the games in a tent with a bunch of people on Molly?
The last time I went to Bonnaroo was 2011, and the Heat lost.
Yeah.
So this is
in spectacular fashion.
Right. So I'm hoping the trend works where LeBron poops the bed and everything turns out rosy for me this time instead of for everyone else.
On the plus side, you'll have Vicks VapoRub under each eye.
Mm-hmm.
Be smoking mentholated cigarettes.
Can't wait.
Probably have neon paint on your ass.
Mm-hmm. And a bunch of glow sticks hanging from my balls.
So there you go.
So I think the Bonnaroo Tuck has gotten us into Hassan Whiteside, Coxic Back. To Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts.
This has literally become a verbal tick where you will just say...
Coxic.
By the end, you're just going to say Hassan Whiteside tailbones it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, cocks it.
Cocks it.
Cocks it.
Coxic.
Cocks it.
No, yeah, the talking basketball now, guys. I'm sad about all of it. It makes me sad.
The Warriors can do three things.
Okay, yes, John.
They can keep doing what they've done all year. And hope that this like nightmare performance ends.
You just hope the magic happens?
Yeah, or that there's a regression toward the mean, and maybe it's not just these amazing closeouts. And Amon Shumpert's apparently hurt, and just keep doing what you've been doing.
Just keep injuring people, letting the Cavs injure themselves.
Or they can start taking the easy twos, which are being provided. Or, and this is the big or, change the lineups dramatically.
Yeah.
Because not only is playoff Barnes no longer a thing,
he's a liability.
You can't put him on the floor right now. He looks stupid.
He's in his head.
I think he's going to get... This is what we talked about a while. This was one of the reasons that we weren't convinced the Warriors would win the finals is this, the nebulous, you need experience. You need finals experience. And where these guys crumble. And Draymond Green is 8-for-30 from the field.
Draymond
the
Green
finals.
Has shot poorly the entire playoffs.
Yeah. Harrison Barnes looks totally lost and... it doesn't seem clear. Festus Ezeli seems like the most calm, and he's just not that good.
Right.
Like his problem is not nerves. Yeah, it seems like he's just not that great.
He may be too stupid to understand what's happening.
He was pre-med at Vanderbilt.
Holy schmoly.
So there you are.
Mo Spates can't hit a dunk. He's 7'11", and he can't hit...
Can we talk about Spates real quick? Iguodala does not need to make that pass.
The Spates... That's true. The Spates breakaway was hilarious. He was definitely... Also, he's coming back from a calf injury, mm-hmm. so I think he was doing that nervous to fully extend. Mm-hmm. He got caught in between.
So you lay it in.
Here's something I know to be true. Iguodala has to play over Barnes.
Iguodala is having an incredible series.
It just has to be done. He's mm-hmm. earned it, and whatever Barnes has also earned it.
So David Lee's offensive rating in this series is like 180 something.
He looks great.
Look, I am
wrong about him. I'm wrong about him.
This is strange. Where I feel like when the Grizzlies were up 2-1, I saw a lot of this like, oh, should the Warriors be going to David Lee? And in that, I thought that was a hilariously bad idea.
Right.
As a Grizzlies fan, I was like, yes, please. But in this series, I don't know if it's just because the stakes are raised and you see the end of the line or something. But in this series, it seems like maybe David Lee does need to do more. So Tristan Thompson has a little more.
Here's the only thing I like about playing David Lee. Is I think you could use him to soak up some fouls.
Yeah.
Because he's good at drawing fouls. I think you could use David Lee to do that.
And Tristan Thompson is killing.
Likes to foul.
Again, like I thought Tristan Thompson, his pure energy game would actually be nullified by the Warriors' energy, but that's not true. He just is outworking everybody.
Well, that's kind of the thing. Like, we've made some jokes prior. In fact, if I had made an apology, it probably would have been this, that we scoffed at the people who said that the Warriors' front line would be more impactful than the Grizzlies front line. Well, as it turns out, that is true.
Yeah.
And it's because you have Tristan Thompson and Timofey, who would be finals MVP if not for LeBron's transcendence.
Or Dellavedova being 1A, 1B.
But both of those guys are super energy, super, you know, just banging all the whole time. Whereas, believe it or not, Marc Gasol and Zebo, there's more finesse to their game than most people probably think. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Warriors cannot handle, is just getting, you know, the heck kicked out of him.
Mollywopped.
You know, for 48 minutes.
The one thing I think David Lee can help is, the biggest problem is the Warriors keep running this pick and roll play, like with Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Where all the Cavs do, to their credit,
they just leave Draymond there.
They just double team Steph Curry the whole time. And so Draymond is getting these passes and he's wide open and he's not, he can't hit a shot. He can't hit the in between floater and then he can't complete a pass. So it's struggling.
And they're not guarding
David Lee is a good pick and roll player in that situation. So maybe that'll help him get a little more offense.
But then on the downside, like if David Lee is in the game for very long enough for the other team to notice, LeBron's going to post him up.
Yeah.
Or Tristan is still going to outwork him for rebounds.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's another wrinkle that the Warriors at least have to consider. Someone else's primary ball handler.
Yeah.
Because Steph Curry is not
handling double teams well. They've been doing that. They've had Sean Livingston as the primary one. They're just not getting those points from everybody else. And, again, it's like the Cavs defense has been so impressive.
Yeah, and you had a Klay Thompson game. You had a 34-point game. You had a Steph Curry game, but Thompson disappeared. What I'm betting on is all those things to happen at once, to have a drop in the bench play and these random Cavs players playing worse, and then Klay and Curry playing well together.
John, you mentioned the first thing the Warriors can hope for is to stay the course and hope a regression to the mean. The only problem with that is I don't feel like the Warriors, outside of maybe Harrison Barnes, are missing easy shots. They're taking crazy hard shots.
Yeah.
Like Steph Curry, you know, it's like he's not in a slump even before this, obviously the fourth quarter outbreak, the second half outbreak. He was missing a lot of shots because they were crazy shots.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson is shooting crazy shot. Like he's doing the pump fake. Oh, my guy didn't move. I'm going to shoot it anyway. Like it's like... So they're trying such hard shots where I'm worried. For Warriors fans, I don't think it's necessarily a matter of getting back to their average. It's like, well, you're taking ridiculous shots. No,
they have to basically hope and pray that the Cavs can't keep up this level of defense for as many games as this series goes.
Right.
Because right now, if things stay how they are, because right now the Cavs should be up 3-0.
They should be.
The Warriors have been outplayed in all three
very
games.
Possible that Iman Shumpert shot goes in,
right,
which was almost going in. They've outplayed the Warriors every game.
Yeah,
you know, which is not wild.
And really, if they don't get hot each fourth quarter, they've lost all three games.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been one of the wildest, wooliest series I can remember.
Let's talk about LeBron. Sorry, Chuck. LeBron is so what's happening is both these teams are playing really good D. The Cavs defense is outworking the Warriors in the fact they're taking just really hard shots. The Warriors defense, and again, I thought that they should do this. They should leave LeBron more one-on-one. So the Warriors is doing the same thing where they've brought the game to the game has stagnated. It's totally stopped. However, the Cavs have the trump card. They have LeBron James, who can one-on-one get a decent shot or work it into the middle. And he's playing some of these shots, and he's not shooting a great percentage, you know, as we're all
he's
noticing.
He's taking 35 shots a game, but
he's doing
20.
He's doing it like the grown man at the gym who doesn't care if he misses his shot because or gets the ball stripped or blocked because he's just like, well, I'm just going to get the ball right back and shoot a layup. So, yeah. Like, he's shooting it off the rim like, oh, I didn't get what I wanted.
Well, yeah, he has, like, two centuries in Timofey and Tristan to get his boards. And also, here's the thing that people are overlooking. LeBron is not turning the ball over. And usually he turns over the ball, like, it's like 15, 16, like, that's his turnover rate. Yeah. In an ISO. Mm-hmm. He's like less than 9 right now.
Yeah. He's just like, he's backing down, getting in. And if he gets two guys on him, he doesn't even care. Yeah. He's like, that means this will be offensive rebounded. Or if Tristan doesn't get it, I'm just going to like, he's in game 3, I think 2 or 3 times, he allowed his shot to get blocked.
It's a massive.
So he could grab it and just lay it in. He's like,
it's a masterful performance and it's all enabled by the fighter and pilot, Maverick Blatt.
Any of the,
who may get fired after this season.
I don't think so.
Could win a championship and get fired.
He has to be given credit. Does he not set up their defense?
Yes.
Like, the defense is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Right now, David Blatt is roundly out-coaching Steve.
If I was David Blatt, I would win the title and then try to get myself fired and then just do whatever I wanted for the rest of my life.
You just go back to Israel.
Start my own franchise.
Yeah. Go coach some team in Russia again. I think what's happened, and kind of touched on it earlier, the ISO ball works against this Warriors team because they switch so well. They've made such a living on those rotations, and now they're like, what do we do? How do we stop this guy?
We're doing this correctly.
We are throwing all of our big, tall, athletic, strong people at LeBron, and he's still eating us alive. Well,
the reason is the Warriors are not scoring at the proper rate. The Warriors' defense is doing what they wanted. They're keeping LeBron and the Cavs to not being incredibly efficient on offense, but the Cavs are playing such great defense that it's working. One of the things about the LeBron shot totals that I think needs to be said, just to clear up some of the mild ignorance in the world. People are like, you know, if Kobe was doing this, he'd be getting criticized. And even LeBron's getting criticized. If Russell Westbrook was doing this. So the big difference is, and it's obvious, one, LeBron can turn it on and off.
Right.
LeBron literally is like, oh, I have to shoot a ton this series. I'm going to do it.
This isn't his style.
Yeah. So the fact that it's so clearly like when he knows going in, I'm going to have to do this a lot is what is the big difference. That's your difference, boys and girls. Like Kobe will have like a quarter where he's like, I'm going to pass a lot.
Yeah.
Kobe, but then it wears off.
Kobe did this when surrounded by like Shaq, Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Robert Horry.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron has done this because he is surrounded by Matthew Dellidee. Yeah. Iman Shumpert.
James Jones. He's so crucial. Off-season pickup of the year.
Oh, chucklehead.
So silly.
Oh, chucklehead.
I can't believe any of this is happening.
All right, hey, let's try.
Can we get to the eye shop?
Let's, let's do, actually, before we do that, let's try to cheer Chuck up. Let's do a game of scones.
Give him a layup.
Let's do a game of scones.
I'm going to lose
this. It's been
one.
A while.
All basketball.
He's psychologically. He has the body. Chuck has the body language of the Warriors after Dellavedova just banked in that and one.
While falling on his face.
My sadness.
Okay, our game of scones is about the NBA Finals. It's not too hard.
I think Chuck will roundly destroy me on this. My teams don't make the final.
Right. and John has been pretty bad at the Game of Scones trivia contest. So your Game of Scones is in my lifetime, in the last 35 NBA Finals, there have been 19 different players who have been the leading scorer for the finals. It could be on the winning or the losing team, whoever was the leading scorer in the NBA Finals. So there are 19 players. We're going all the way back to the Lakers-Sixers 1980 will be the first year we go with. I don't know if that's a hint, but that's to help you track back to how far back the 80s. So the way we'll do it is the first person, once you miss three, if you say three incorrect, you are the loser, and then whoever's left will have to get one right to be declared the outright winner.
I am
winner.
Defending champion.
John is the defending champion. Would you go first or second?
I will go first.
He will go first. All right. These are the leading scorers in the NBA Finals.
Let's go ahead and get the easiest one out of the way and take MJ.
Michael Jordan, yes.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yes.
Larry Bird.
Yes.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Just barely in that 1980 Ooh. Series. Just barely in that
1980 excuse. I thought Magic stole it from him in that one. In the game he played center and all that.
Yeah.
All
right. Oh yeah, because he
no
didn't
strikes.
Even play.
No strikes. This is easy so that far. Is so far easy. Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade. Absolutely.
Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan. Yes, sir.
LeBron James.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas in 1 year. I know this is hard when you're not looking or writing things down. Right. But yeah.
Well, let's go with Joe Dumars.
Joe Dumars in that other year.
Yeah. James Worthy.
Yes, James Worthy.
No, that was one of my special ones. Mm-hmm. I'm upset with you.
Sorry.
Moses Malone.
Yes. We've got huge ones. Huge ones out there.
Yes, big dogs.
Just saying. I know, because you're not looking or writing anything down. But
Charles Barkley.
No, that's it. He got roundly outscored by Michael Jordan in that final series. One strike for Chuck.
That's why I'm scared to do. I think I'm about to have a strike. Dirk Nowitzki.
No.
Oh, son of a bad nabbit.
There are some guys. There are big ones.
Yeah,
big ones.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes, thank you.
Good Lord, what's wrong with us?
I don't know.
Let's see here. Can we do? I don't think, but I'm going to try it anyways. Magic Johnson.
Yes, Magic Johnson.
Woo!
Kobe Bean.
Kobe Bryant. Yes, thank you.
That's embarrassing. Why did that take
Why did
so long?
We miss?
You guys were ignoring the Lakers because you hate them.
Allen Iverson.
Yes, Allen Iverson. There are now four left.
Oh, we're screwed.
We're done.
One strike apiece.
The hints are going to have to start rolling out soon.
They each did it. Three of them did it once. One of them did it twice.
Chuck, what do you got?
Allen Houston.
What?
Wow.
I'm just done.
Was that the, not, I don't.
That was Allen Houston, ladies and gents.
Nothing.
Chuck's second strike.
Oh my word!
We don't even count that. Yeah, but that was the strike year. I'm not sure we can count that one.
I should lose this whole thing.
I'm about to lose myself because we've already done Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, this is hard.
Let's do. Can we do Patrick Ewing?
Nope. What is? They're not.
That was the Ewing year.
There are no Knicks.
Yeah,
did Ewing even play in the finals?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he was hurt. That was Camby.
That was Ewing theory.
Ewing theory. Yeah.
All right, two of them are from the early 80s.
Dr. J.
No. Chuck's out. And two of them are from the last 10 years.
But I need to get one.
You need to get one to win, John. Get one to win.
All right, because I have two misses as well. So who was on that Sixers team? No, because he said Dr. J, and that was wrong.
That's correct.
It's not Sidney Moncrief.
You better be careful. I'm going to count these as guesses.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say playoff or streetball legends. The Rooster, Hot Sauce. Let me do Cedric Maxwell.
No. Duh. All right. So there is no winner. We have tied.
Give them to me.
The four remaining, you guys were right. Sixers way. Andrew Toney.
Damn it.
Early 80s, Kevin McHale.
I was going to go McHale.
I went with Maxwell instead.
Now, this is
cornbread.
And then the ones you'll be very upset about.
Yeah.
Tony Parker.
Yes.
1 year.
Dear God.
And Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah.
Who was the leading scorer. So that was a good game of scones. Everyone loves a game with no winner, right?
Ugh. Yeah.
That's good for ratings.
Draws are great.
All right. So now let's move on to the awards segment of the program, which is the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award. This goes to the worst performance in a box score.
Do we even have to do the candidates, or can we just give it to Steph right out?
This is, we will go through the motions, John.
All right.
We have three nominees. One in game one, J.R. Smith. 3 for 13, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 turnovers.
Throw it out.
He's just laying pipe.
Mm-hmm. Game two,
Slide
Steph Curry.
DMs.
Chef Curry was not cooking. 5 for 23, 2 for 15 downtown. Also 6 turnovers, 19 points, 6 boards, 5 assists. 6 turnovers, 5 for 23. And then also, Harrison Barnes in game 3. 0 for 9, 3 turnovers. I mean, we're going to give it to Steph Curry.
Because it is the worst game score by an MVP in playoff history.
Ever.
But also,
yes,
what Harrison Barnes did
is spectacular.
Is absolute trash. Like, it is...
Straight trash.
It is literal... Landry Fields level misery.
Landry
it is the It is the his game score was -7.3, which is only beaten in this year's playoffs by I believe your son's godfather, Norris Cole, had a -8.7, which took me down the rabbit hole that I will on Basketball Reference. Worst game score ever, Michael Cooper.
Oh,
no points, 9 turnovers.
Not Coop.
Oh my!
How many turnovers did he force though?
Yeah. None that made it into the box score. So Steph Curry,
must have been on some terrible
Steph
blow
Curry,
that game.
You surprisingly have won an International Stackhouse of Pancakes,
joining James Harden
award. All right, let's wrap it up. Parfait away, the Cavs are up 2-1. What do we all still feel the Warriors are going to win? I do. Even though I've seen nothing that says they are going to, other than they've turned it around, I guess, in the Grizzly series.
Yeah. They did have two terrible games against the Grizz. I think you'll see a progression to the mean.
Yeah.
And we'll have those Curry, Clay jump off games where they just go nuts. And I can see easily a 20-point victory for the Warriors in the next game. And if they get one, then that confidence is there. Yeah. And it shakes that Cleveland team to the core, and I think it'll switch the series around.
This could very easily be Dubs Grizz Redux. I think that's probably what we're looking at. If LeBron pulls this off, this is the best finals performance I have seen.
Ever. Yeah, and I watched Dwayne Wade and Bennett Salvatore.
I think
I was about to think you gotta throw that in.
I think
there.
The Warriors are still gonna win because if Dan Gilbert, Comic Sans terrorist, predatory loan shark maven, a man who's been sued by the Department of Justice for his dirty mortgages contributing to the U.S. and world economy faltering. If that man wins an NBA title, that's some like George R.R. Martin horribleness.
Yeah, it's a like red
that's,
wedding.
That's just
we're going to read tomorrow.
That's just cruelty.
That he burned his daughter alive to achieve this victory.
She's got a messed up
no
face.
Spoilers. No spoilers.
But yeah, the universe shouldn't allow this to continue for many reasons. But yeah, I think you can look at a Dellavedova game is not going to happen in the next four, I don't think, and we're done.
But hey, this is the parfait away. The one thing that I am looking forward to most is watching these finals in a Bonnaroo tent while Chuck is on MDMA with a pacifier in his mouth and in his butt.
It should be great.
That's funny. And the one thing I'm looking forward to is the tournament.
Have you what is this?
I don't know if you're aware
don't
of
even
the,
mention it anymore.
The tournament. On
I don't know
the,
what it is.
It's a.
I
it's,
went to the website and couldn't figure it out.
It is an open. It's just a $1 million winner take all basketball tournament where you have to submit your team. It can be anybody. Like Nate Robinson's playing in it. Hakeem Warrick. There's a team with Josh Selby and Willie Reed.
Ugh.
Oh, I'm excited.
Are you actually playing?
No, he's
no,
watching
I'm not
it.
Playing.
You watch people play it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is all Keith does now that the NBA finals are here.
I get so bored with
out.
The finals. I just want to know about free agency.
He wants 80 games at once.
You guys, LaMarcus Aldridge went and saw Kevin Hart in Boston with Tony Parker.
Ooh,
what does that mean?
Who even knows?
Is that for the Celtics or
everything
for the
Spurs? Everything is connected. Everything is connected.
All right, so that's all we got. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Like us and rate us on iTunes or Stitcher. That really helps us out if you want to find a way to
leave us a
out.
Review.
Leave us a good old review. All right.
Five stars only. Thank you.
Yes. So thanks for listening. Remember, breakfast is the most important thing.